The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter, verses 23 through 33. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Alleluia, Christ is risen. Dear sons and daughters of God, in the name of Jesus. World War II killed my dad 31 years after the war had ended. He was injured very, very gravely by a grenade. And the treatment he received at the MASS unit was radiation therapy. And so his whole torso, front and back, had plenty of scars and wounds. And so they treated him with radiation, with the theory at the time that radiation speeds up the healing process, but then they found out that all the GIs that got radiation therapy ended up getting brain tumors. And so in 1976, December 17th, my dad traveled to the shores of forever, but he never spoke of the war. He had to close that chapter of his life and move on after he married my mom before I was born. But very rarely do you find many soldiers wanting to talk about what they had gone through, because it's hard to imagine what they have gone through. And if you haven't been there, it's pretty hard to see. To imagine being threatened by physical death on a regular basis, never knowing when it's going to come. I don't know how many times soldiers have shared one thing with me, and only one thing, but what I have heard from those that I've spoken with is how important the soldier's psalm was in time of conflict. I'll read only a portion of it to you today. It might not be a bad idea to read Psalm 91 tomorrow as a part of your Memorial Day remembrance of the price of freedom. I'll read a couple of passages to you. Verse 2 of Psalm 91, the soldier's psalm. Verse 2, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." And then verses 7 and 8. And these verses have actually been pointed out to me. You know, it's like this was their anchor in and through it all, that we can hardly even fathom unless we've been in service. Verse 7, "A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you." It will not come near you. It will not come near you. I met one guy in Louisiana who, even years after service, kept that psalm in his wallet. And he showed it to me, saying how important it was to him to know that the Lord is that close. And how important it was to stay close to Jesus. Well, you and I, most of us, can't say that we can relate to what I've just shared with you about military service. But with all due respect to those who have served the history of our nation to preserve freedom and liberty, we're in a battle ourselves, a different kind of battle, not fought with guns, not fought with tanks, but it's a different kind of battle, and it's a place where you and I need to stay close to Jesus. The challenge is that so often in your life and my life, we get lost. There are things that happen to us that we don't even know how to talk about, let alone think about. There are things that just blindside us, and we go, what are we going to do with this? How am I going to make it through that? We live scattered lives where we can be tossed about in so many different ways, getting lost in our thoughts and our words and our actions. It's hard to stay close to Jesus. It's hard to rely on Him when we need to. The temptation in your life and my life is to depend on ourselves somehow, to think that in our own thinking ability, in our own muscle, our own money, we can face the battles we're in, when that's just deception. And that can actually get us in more dire straits, somehow thinking that our mind, our muscle, our money can actually save the day for us. Our battle is much bigger than that, and we need more than that in our lives. And God wants more than that. He wants us, how did we hear it? That your joy may be full. God would have us do more than just through grit get through the battle in this world, but to actually see the joy of the Lord, like the jelly bean gospel, to know that we're holy, to know that we're precious, to know that God has for us joy and a message to share, a sweet message to share with others. But it's not easy for us. How did Jesus say it? In this world, you will have tribulation. Boy, no kidding. In all kinds of different ways. It's amazing how many different ways tribulation can come. And certainly, we can say that it's from the people around us, but oftentimes we're pretty good at giving ourselves quite a hard time with it all. Staying close to Jesus, it's certainly something we would agree is important. The challenge is that it can be so challenging and difficult in the battle we call life, in this tribulation that we're living in. The good news for us today is that Jesus can relate. He knows. He knows what it's like. He knows what we're going through. He knows the kind of battle it is. And the good news is that He actually came to our rescue, coming to the world that would kill Him, coming to a world where He would simply want to give the love of God and share the truth that sets people free and give liberty. And yet He would lay down His life, dying on Calvary's cross, paying the debt fully for all of our sin, that we would be free. And even now, Jesus huddles us around word and sacrament often, so that we can be fed with the bread of life, so that we can scatter back into our lives, knowing that we have someone who's for us and with us, and with a confidence that we can face whatever comes our way with the victory He has given to us. He says, I have overcome the world, and we have that through faith in Him, knowing that He is with us as we stay close to Him. You know, His purpose for you and for me is to scatter back into our lives where we can be the Bible people read, the church that they attend, with the hope that the Lord will open their hearts and minds, like He did so long ago for Lydia, that people may receive what God has done for them through His Son, that they may know of the Father's love. And that's what our life is about. Ours is a different kind of battle, where we pray for our enemies, forgive those who hurt us, reach out and are kind with people who don't want anything to do with us, trusting that His ways aren't our ways, knowing that He has given us a victory that can make a difference in the world with all the people around us working through us. Staying close to Jesus. knowing what awaits us. In our epistle reading today, we get a picture of the New Jerusalem, the place where we won't be scattered anymore. We won't have to lock anything or worry about anything. We'll have a good shepherd, a good pastor who will take care of us. And he has put our names on the book of life. You could say written with the blood of his life. Makes you want to stay close to Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.